May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning is the parable from Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, especially these words of Jesus. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, as I mentioned, for the next 3 weeks, which are the last 3 weeks of the church year, we'll be working our way through Matthew 25 in our gospel readings. Now, when many of you were younger, including me, today's reading, the parable of the 10 virgins, was the gospel reading for the last Sunday of the church year every single year. And I think it's because it so perfectly illustrates how we Christians are to be as we look forward to the coming of our Lord. That's what this parable is all about, Christ's second coming. And as we approach the end of the church year, we are to consider what will happen at the end of all years, at the end of time, when the dead are raised, when Christ returns to judge the living and the dead, and remakes the heavens and the earth, and welcomes us physically into his presence for all eternity, into the marriage feast of the Lamb that has no end. This parable of the 10 virgins, or the 12 bridesmaids in some translations, gives us much to think about as we wait for our bridegroom, our Lord Jesus. Now, a disclaimer, from a preaching perspective, this is a pretty challenging parable. The details are somewhat confusing, and we really don't know a lot about first century Jewish wedding practices and ceremonies, but Jesus does give us an explanation at the end of the parable, what we should take away. He says, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This parable is about watchfulness, about readiness, about preparedness. Are you ready? Are you ready for Christ's return? Are you watching in eager expectation for it? We don't know when it will be. We know that he could return at any moment. Our bridegroom, though, has delayed for nearly 2,000 years. When is he coming back? Today? Centuries or millennia after we die? We don't know. But perhaps there is something a little more immediate, a little more front and center on our minds that we could consider. And that is the question of, when will you die? Because really, that's the same thing as Christ's return. When a person dies, it is judgment day for them, as their soul is either taken to heaven or to hell. And like the Lord's return, the day of our death is also unknown to each of us. It could happen at any time. Are you ready for that? As you heard in our epistle reading, the Thessalonian church, in Paul's day, they had some confusion over death. They wondered about those who had died, about those who had fallen asleep before Christ's second coming. Apparently, some of them thought that Jesus would return quickly and that, in fact, Christians would not die before that happened. But he seemed to be delayed, and the people, God's people, died. And so Paul's words are words of reassurance, as he writes, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord." Whether asleep or awake, that is, whether dead or alive, those who trust in Jesus for their salvation will be eternally with him. Now, those who are alive when Christ returns will never have died physically, but it is on that day that they will be judged, much like the days of Noah. People were marrying and giving in marriage. People were eating and drinking and going about their business. But then one day, judgment came. God shut Noah and his family into the ark, saving them, and shut out the rest of the unbelieving world. they were judged. In the parable of the 10 virgins, when the bridegroom comes, he shuts the door to the wise virgins, shuts them inside the feast with him, and the foolish virgins are shut out. Now, what are these virgins there to do? It seems clear they are there to welcome the bridegroom with their lamps brightly burning, perhaps to light the way for the wedding procession as the bridegroom enters into town. And they all seem eager to do this. All 10 bring their lamps burning to welcome the bridegroom. But when he's delayed, they all fall asleep. And when they awake, some, those with oil, are ready to welcome him as he comes, and some are not. These 10, all of them, represent the church. You might call it the visible church, those people who we see attending church or who claim to be Christian. If you went out onto the streets and did a poll asking people what your religion is, those who say that they are Christian, these are the 10 virgins. They are baptized, some regular church attendees, some not. They are those who seek to associate with God's church. So then what is the distinction? Some are brought into the wedding feast, and to some the feast is closed. In fact, the bridegroom says a most terrifying thing to the foolish virgins. He tells them, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you." These 5 represent those who claim to be Christian, but who really have no faith or who have lost their faith, even though they may be going through the motions. Consider the people to whom our Lord speaks through Amos in our Old Testament lesson. They are worshiping God using all the prescribed ceremonies, making the sacrifices at the right time, but their hearts are far from him. The Lord says, I despise your feasts. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. And so it is that some in the visible church will be welcomed in to the wedding feast, and some will not. So what should we do? How are we to be ready when the bridegroom returns? What does it mean to have enough oil in our lamps, if you will? Jesus says, be watchful. Be mindful of your faith. Avail yourself to God's grace while it is still day. Receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness and life and salvation. Come to church, read your Bible, repent, believe the gospel your whole life through, for you don't know when that day is coming. Only God can provide you with what you need for his return. Only God can clothe you in his Christ's righteousness in the waters of your baptism. It is the Lord who turns our hearts to repentance. It is the Lord who forgives your sin. It is the Lord who prepares you for his coming. Do not harden your hearts. Instead, be watchful. The bridegroom is coming, which is the point after all. For those whose faith has grown cold, for those whom the concerns of this life have outweighed their concern for the life to come, that day will be a terrifying one. To quote Amos again, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. As if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? But for the faithful, for the watchful, the Lord's return is good news. We watchful ones long for the coming of our Lord, the coming of Christ, because it is the same Christ who died for your sins, who rose again on the third day, who ascended to the right hand of the Father. That is the Christ who is coming again. The same Christ who brought you to himself through his Holy Spirit in your baptism and in his word, that is the Christ who's coming. The same Christ who tells you every Sunday that your sins are forgiven in the absolution, the same Christ who feeds you his body and blood to eat and to drink, that is the Christ who is coming again. The same Christ who says about us, I am giving them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. That is the Christ for whom we wait in eager expectation. And though we may become sleepy, worn out from this world, worn out from sickness, worn out from the affairs of our lives, worn out by, yes, our own sin, and even if we fall asleep in death, Christ is coming. He is coming to make all things new. He is coming to give us eternal life with him. And as we watch, as we wait for this heavenly banquet, we feast on the meal he prepares for us at this altar. This wedding feast, the body and blood of our Lord, nourishes us now, strengthens us now to be able to wait, to be able to be watchful, to be ready for our Lord's coming, to look forward to that marriage feast that has no end. As we sang in that marvelous hymn, Zion hears the watchman singing, and all her heart with joy is springing. She wakes, she rises from her gloom, for her Lord comes down all glorious, the strong in grace, in truth victorious. Her star is risen, her light is come. Now come, thou blessed one, Lord Jesus, God's own Son, hail, Hosanna. We enter all the wedding hall to eat the supper at thy call. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.